It's a new day. Welcome to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. Welcome back, everybody, if you've been listening to WFYL. We're going to continue on with a news day here. My name is Andrew Turner.
And I'm Bruce Stocking. And happy 2015.
That's right. Our last program, Bruce, with you and I was the 31st.
We begin as we ended.
That is correct. That's right. That is correct. Yeah, Corinne Lewis is not here today.
Hopefully she'll be in later on.
Yeah, we've got, what's the weather looking like out there, Bruce? Maybe that'll be an indication of what's going on. Because I know down in Delaware County, I've heard this morning that, 363 and some other roads down that lead down there are already at an advisory. And
oh, yeah. Well, you know, around here you get a couple of flakes of snow and everything turns into an advisory. Mm-hmm. But it is some snow flurries out there this morning. The temperature is only about 20 degrees. And don't look for it to get too much warmer. We're in a cold spell right now. And you take a look at places such as Chicago, they've been getting some snow. We're not supposed to get much, more or less like a dusting. I don't even think we're looking at even a chance of an inch of snow. But right now it's about 20 degrees outside. There's snow flurries that are out there. Today we're going up to 27 degrees, light snow in the AM. So that's these snow flurries. Then we're going to have occasional snow showers throughout the afternoon. The winds will be south-southwest at about 5. Chance of snow is 70% today, but it's, like I said, really not much, at least in the early reports I've seen, any accumulation going to happen. Tonight, we're going to be about 21 degrees. There'll be a few clouds in the area, the chance of any snow, and that drops down to about 10%. Winds will be out of the west at 9. Now, for tomorrow, the high tomorrow, we're looking at 24 degrees. So we're not going to be jumping up there.
It has been cold, too. And, you know, it hasn't been comparatively cold.
No, well, it's wintertime.
It's supposed to be cold.
We had a mild couple of days.
Oh, I think that's why it's now feeling so cold.
Yeah.
With the wind chills the way that they are. I mean, everybody has been cold because you haven't expected it.
It is. But, tomorrow, it's going to be 24 degrees is the high. Now, tomorrow's story is going to be the winds. The winds will be west-northwest at about 20 to 30. They'll be gusting to 40. So only a 10% chance of any precipitation. And get ready for this. Hold on to your table. The low tomorrow night, 8 degrees.
Nice.
Very cold, clear skies. Winds are about 10 to 20. No precipitation in the forecast. But keep in mind, folks, that, like for tomorrow, it's going to be 24 degrees. The wind's going to be blowing. It's going to go down to about 8 degrees tomorrow night. And any time you get the cold temperatures in the wind, then you're going to have to figure in the wind chill factor. And that's going to make it actually feel colder than what it is. So there's really not much of a wind blowing right now. Mm-hmm. But when it does, just keep in mind that it's so. Welcome to winter 2015.
This is what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, these things do happen.
Well, this storm, Bruce, I know you don't like it, but they're called, they named this.
Oh, they got
storm.
Another name? I didn't even bother.
Gorgon.
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 Oh, I thought that was the guy reporting it when I saw it. Right. Gorgon. Gorgon. You know, it's like, you know, give the person say Gorgon.
Right. It's Winter Storm Gorgon, folks.
Yeah. That's
as
sad.
In the Gorgon's Eye.
Yeah, and Gorgonzola.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
That as well. this cold snap that we've got going on right now, it's called winter. These happens every year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at that axis of the earth.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. So we'll have to just take care of it. The snow today, as my understanding, is just in time to ruin your daily commute. And that's about it.
I wouldn't say ruin. I just say, you know,
you
got to be
cautious. Depending on how everybody else
handles it. But then again, you know, in the Philadelphia area, when you're driving down the road, just keep in mind people attach their bumpers to yours. And they're right on there. You shouldn't do that anyhow. But just take a little time, a little caution. You get there a little bit late, well, at least you get there in one piece.
You get there at all,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Hey, last night in Conshohocken, there was a water main break right on one of the main streets in West Country. Right, right. I mean, it was right as the sun went down.
Now, look at it this way.
It's probably 20 degrees.
You got to feel sorry for the water department guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
this is their busy season.
Yeah. Well, you know, pipes freeze, they burst.
Right.
But, you know, you've got to dig in the hole. You got to be out there in the water in the wet in this weather.
Mm.
Sounds like fun to me.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like no fun at all.
Yeah.
But that is the way of things. So yeah, this is one of those times, you know, make sure that your pipes are good to go.
That's it.
If you live in an older home.
Well, there's an old trick that you should do, with your pipes, especially your outdoor spigots.
Yeah.
Is that usually inside the house you have a shutoff valve for them.
Yeah.
Is, shut them off inside the house, open the valve on the outside.
Right.
And just let it drain out. That way it won't freeze.
Yeah, I've had it happen a few times before. When I was living with my parents, it was, you know, we only had maybe three or four times that it happened, but over, you know, a long period of time, pipes freeze.
Oh, they
even
do.
In the nicer houses,
now,
they
here's
freeze
a question
and they burst.
For you. Which pipe's going to freeze first, the hot water or cold water pipe?
I feel like this is a trick question. And I feel like you've asked me this before. Hot water?
Yeah, hot water.
Uh-huh.
That'll freeze faster. And it's also a nice way to save some energy, too, that if you can get, they have these insulating wraps, put them on your hot water pipes.
Yeah.
And that way, it'll keep the water in the pipes hotter longer without it cooling down,
right.
And may save you a little bit of fuel bill.
Insulated as
there
well.
There you go. Yeah. A little homeowner tip there.
Yeah, there you go. Indeed, indeed.
Yeah. So now, we're full of all kinds of stuff. Right?
Yeah,
we're
that's
just
right.
Full of it around here. That's what I say.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what we do. Full of news.
Yeah. So, New Year has come.
How was your New Year, Bruce?
Long, boring. You know, you take a look at the way our schedule's gone. We had the Christmas holiday and ended up with basically 5 days in a row off. Then came back for two. Then another 5 days. I don't like long holiday weekends. Some people go, oh, man, what's the matter with you? For me, it drives me crazy. Because you kind of run out of stuff to do. Of course, right now, what do you end up doing? Well, you know, there's an old Southern adage. Nobody follows it anymore. I certainly don't do it. But the adage was with your Christmas items, don't let the light of New Year's Day fall upon your Christmas display. In other words, start getting it down before. Well, I'm starting now.
Mm.
Slow, but you're getting stuff down.
I had a good New Year's Eve and an early day the next day, so I wasn't out there with all the folks in the streets,
no.
You know, dancing around.
No,
not
fact,
like you, Bruce. I know you were there.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, I was out there just, you know, cutting the asphalt, cutting a rug, you know, but yeah, right. But so come and go. New Year's Eve's never been a biggie. Never been a biggie. You know,
no.
Like comes and goes, you know, there it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. I mean, I never really have good plans on New Year's Eve. I always, you know, people always try to put things together well ahead of time.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, I have, you know, a job, so.
Yeah, well, even if you have a job, there's just some people that, any excuse, life's a party and they're going to have it to its full extent. You know,
right. Well, it happens.
Yeah. But, you know, when you come right down to it, you know, New Year's, as long as everybody was safe. As long as everybody had a good time.
Yeah, and from my understanding, I mean, I didn't hear of too many big New Year's Eve stories. We've been off, as you said, Bruce, for a few days.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We haven't had a whole lot of news.
No, I checked.
I haven't. I do. But I've been, I haven't had a whole lot of news coming through just because, you know, sometimes when you do it all the time,
yeah.
You need a few days off.
Well,
but
yes,
then again,
definitely.
It's been an extremely slow news cycle.
Well, and that's when we tend to get in trouble with a lot of the media because with them, you know,
right.
We were talking before we came on air about with cable, when the great creation of the cable news, 24-hour cable, that's a lot of time to fill. So you end up filling it and making stories. And, you know,
right.
The news, the media is to cover the stories, not to make the stories. And we have a tendency, and I've said it many, many times, that we're dealing with a media, and this is something to keep in mind for 2015, that we're dealing with a media that will drive stories instead of the story driving the media. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the tail that's wagging the dog, and that's to be real tough with because you're going to get a lot of different things that are fostered out there. It's almost like the bloggers. You know, I always look at a lot of these bloggers, kind of like that car insurance commercial where the girl says, well, they can't put it on the internet if it isn't true.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like they can't put it on the news if it isn't true. Really? When's the last time you happened to check most of the major networks? And let's face it, the old reliable race-baiting hiring MSNBC. You know, come on.
Right.
You know,
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. It happens
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, an intelligent person who looks at the news, you know, different sources, come up with your own facts, your own opinions. Yeah, you're allowed to do that in this country. You don't need somebody like Andrew and I or any of us telling you what to think. We'll throw it out there for you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Just because you like the reporter, just because you like the pundit, doesn't mean they're always right. Take it, listen, deduce it yourself, and come up with your own opinion. You can do that in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you have
it. It's one of those things, Bruce, that we mentioned. And it would seem almost counterintuitive to our business, but
shop around
for your news. You can't get all your news in one spot.
That's it. That's it. Well,
just like you can't get all your information in one spot.
Yeah, I always liked what William Tecumseh Sherman. He hated the media. And he said if he could work his will, he would have every reporter shot at sunrise. He says he was guaranteed to have news from hell by nightfall. I think that's one of the greatest lines ever given on that.
But it does happen.
No, it does. It does.
And we've got we do have news today, despite this slow news cycle.
Oh, yes.
So we'll be going through.
We diligently dug through and found stuff for you. Well, this is Let the Games Begin Day.
Yeah.
Because the new Congress,
is
we're going to talk
about
that when we come back.
Yes, we will. We will talk about that right when we come back. We do have a guest today coming in as well.
We do.
A local guest as well from right across the street here from the firearm shop right across the street. We'll get more information on that
in Insight.
Just a few minutes. Yep, just a few minutes for you. But, yeah, that's what we've got going on here.
Yep.
Hopefully you stay tuned and listen and everything like that.
Looking out our radar window, it is a dusting starting to happen on the cars and that, so take a little time out there.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too much.
No, I don't think it will.
If it's a snowmageddon, we'll do a full 24-hour news cycle.
What's the name of it?
Gorgon.
Again?
Gorgon.
Yeah.
It's the Gorgon storm.
Like something on a sci-fi channel.
Oh,
Gorgon.
It is. This Friday, premiering on sci-fi.
Yeah, again. Gorgon. The Gorgon.
We will head to a commercial break, and we will be right back after that commercial break. What are we going to be talking about? We said we're going to be doing Congress, right?
Yes, the new Congress starts, and all the little buffoonery begins.
Wonderful. Well, we'll be right back. Stay right there, folks. And welcome back to It's a New Day here at 11:00.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, cold to cold to air.
Our computer's down, so we don't have the music.
We don't have, and we didn't bring a CD because, you know.
Well,
we'll get one at the halfway mark here, and we'll see if we can play some music.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just us today. We're going through. We're giving you the news. So before the break, we mentioned that we wanted to do a news story on the new Congress. But, Bruce, I thought before we did that, maybe I would fill everybody in on maybe a verse of the day.
Yeah, why
I looked
don't you
one
do
up
that?
During the break, so
all
I figured
right.
I'd do one. So this is from 2 Corinthians, and it says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And I thought that was a nice way to start out our year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So much in front of us, so much behind us. What is unseen it certainly is eternal. So just keep that in mind throughout your day and throughout your week, and we'll keep bringing you verses throughout the week.
Yeah, that kind of fits in with what Ronald Reagan said. The only thing of eternal life is a government temporary program.
And you don't see them. Yeah.
You don't see them, so that, you know, really comes into play.
Because they're eternal.
Yeah.
Speaking of the temporary governmental programs, what have we got going on in Congress?
Oh, you mean the insanity. Well, you know, we can literally say that let the games begin. The new Congress starts today. They've been sworn in. Of course, it's now Republican-controlled House and Senate. And the GOP Senate leaders say they're willing to work with Obama in the new Congress. But they're hoping he'll play ball with them. And they're talking over a number of different things and working, you know, the old, well, let's see, let's use some of the cliches because you're going to hear it. This is why it's been a slow news cycle. But as of today, it's kind of like that guy that used to do wrestling, you know, "Are you ready to rumble?"
Right.
Well, here we go. Is that
it's an all-out blitz now.
Oh, yeah. You know, they want to work together on a number of different things. And, of course, the first thing that they're going to do, and Obama has been a master of trying to set up the Republicans all the time. Well, this is going to happen to him, is that the first thing they're going to move on is the Keystone Pipeline. to get that through, because it'll go through the House, the Senate, and on his desk. And, of course, Obama came out with, before he went on his vacation, he came out and said about vetoing, you know, that magic pen. You know, it can violate the Constitution. It can stop laws in their tracks. And this is the thing.
Well, yeah. And you know, you're talking about the violating the Constitution. And that's some of the acts that he has just kind of pushed through without it being without congressional approval.
Yeah.
A veto certainly is congressionally or is constitutionally appropriate. But not when you sidewall everything that comes across your desk, because it's
a
long party lines.
Yeah, and you also have to realize that Obama had his protector in the Senate, Harry the Do Nothing Congress Reed, and Harry
the dude.
Yeah,
Reed.
He's now the minority leader. You know, just like Nancy Pelosi is the minority leader. Remember the good old days that when a person lost. You know, held positions like that for a long time, and they lost it. They usually retired out. Oh, no. The secular progressives can't do that because it's all about power. With
term limits, Bruce.
Oh, there's a novel idea.
We need somebody to vote on them.
Yeah. Well, the Republicans say we're going to get an indicator on how this president wants to govern in the last 2 years. Now, keep in mind, I said last year that this president has two more years to go, and it's like, whoa, what's going to happen? Now, you would think with a Republican-controlled House and Senate, Congress, that it would tend to put a little bit of a muzzle on him and monitoring system. Well, he's not going to stop with that. And so
I didn't think that was going
to
happen.
No, and this is a very true statement, too, about indicate how this president wants to govern over the next 2 years and how he wants to work with the Republicans in Congress. Well, he doesn't. And they also go on to say we're going to find out early whether or not the president wants to play ball. Well, the president has already come out and stated he's not going to play ball. Josh Earnest yesterday in a press conference says that this president's going to go on his own if he has to do what he feels he needs to do. Well, you notice something wrong with that?
That right at the end there, right?
Yeah. You know what's wrong with that? What he feels?
That's why you call him the anointed, almighty one,
yeah,
right?
What about we the people? Yeah, we the people. Unfortunately,
well, that would assume,
put him in there.
That would assume, Bruce, that what we're doing would actually matter to them. It matters to us, and it does absolutely matter. That's why we mention, you know, your voice matters here on this program, and your vote matters and all that. But they don't think so.
Oh, no.
Why they say things like that.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the show, my We the People, I'm going to delve a little bit more into that. But, you know, the Republicans are going out, and I love this rhetoric. Oh, you got to love this rhetoric. It says, you know, congressional Republicans, they have the power of the purse to challenge the president. That's a true statement. Congress does have the power of the purse. However, does this Congress, as the last Congress, have the spine to do the right thing? That is the question. Now, the Republicans will not shut down the Department of Homeland Security, whose funding expires in February, because remember, we don't have budgets. We did that spending bill. It's called spending bills now. And so they're going to, they only funded them to February for they can discuss things because of Obama's illegal, unconstitutional executive order with the immigration reform. But what are they, you think these guys are going to have the spine to take on the president? No, they're not going to have the spine simply because of who Obama is. If it was any other person in there. Say, like, if it was Romney that got it. Oh, yeah, they would. Or anybody else, they would.
Yeah.
But he's the anointed. And so, you know, you can't touch the anointed.
Mm.
And so, you know, incoming Senate Majority Mitch McConnell also said on Sunday, appeared to strike a more compromising tone. Well, you know.
Well, that sounds promising.
But if you're going to sit there and say we have the power of the purse strings, but then come out with a compromising tone, I don't know. Is that a little conflicting?
Sounds like it's a little all over the place. Yeah. Not to say that politics down there is easy right now.
No.
But, you know, Bruce, I think one of the things that you mentioned was, you know, will they have the heart and the spine to do what is asked of them, and that would be to repeal Harry Reid's nuclear option.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't, so hopefully that happens. I would hope that happens before the Keystone Pipeline.
And let's take a look at the
That would be quite a large gesture.
Oh, sure. And let's take a look at the Unaffordable Care Act. You know, both Democrats and Republicans are all for getting rid of that tax on medical devices. We need to address these mandates and get rid of them because it's unconstitutional for the government to make you buy something.
Right.
And it's unconstitutional for a government to use taxation for punitive measures if you do not buy that something. Mm. And that needs to go. And they talk about job growth and, well, you know, that right there would help do it. But, you know, and are they going to attack these things? No. And I can tell you one thing, a little bumper for this Saturday's H2O. We're talking about leading up to the revolution, and taxation was a big thing.
Was it?
We have a modern tax story of a friend of ours that fits right into what was going on.
Oh, wow.
In that. So we're going to mix that in a little bit too on the taxation and a tyranny. So here we are in 2015. The tyranny continues, and we'll get into some more of what's going on up on the Hill today. Get you all prepped up for all the fun and games that'll start off today.
Well, now that they're back in session, we'll start seeing more in the news about it.
Yeah, but we're going to see more of the rhetoric going on back and forth and that, and we need to see progress.
Right. Well, we're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back. Welcome back and good morning to It's a New Day. If you are just joining us on your radio dials, welcome to It's a New Day. We're very pleased to be here this morning to deliver you some news. If you've been listening to us on your streaming, that would be the welcome back crowd. By the way, if you wanted to listen to us streaming, you can go to 1180WFYL.com. You can find our streaming links as well as all of our previous show podcasts and things like that. So all kinds of stuff up there. You can even give us a call at 610-539-8255. Or you can call us toll-free, Bruce, where?
At 877-667-1180.
All kinds of stuff going on there, so that's good. Right before the break, we were talking about Congress and their new session.
Yes, they start today. For those that are just tuning into us, we talked about the new Congress comes in, the Republican-held Congress, which, just to clarify for folks out there, and I know there's some folks, and I've talked to some folks that don't understand this, when they say the Congress, they immediately think of the House of Representatives. No, the Congress is the House and the Senate combined is called the Congress. Mm. And they are now both in the hands of the Republican being the majority on there. So the days of Harry Reid blocking and obstructing and being the main focus for a do-nothing Congress have been removed. Mitch McConnell is now the majority leader in the Senate. And the big problem we have in the Senate, if you listen to We the People Constitution Matters on Fridays from 7 to 8 right here at 1180 AM, WFYL, you would know that the reason we have such a problem with the way the government is functioning is because of a thing called the 17th Amendment. 17th Amendment is what removed basically a good chunk of state sovereignty with the Senate and turn the Senate elections into a popular vote.
And this is something you talk about on We the People, Constitution Matters, Bruce, on Fridays.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So there we have it. Of course, the Republicans say that they're willing to work with this president, but this will see and wait how this president reacts to them will state the wastic way that it's going to go for the next 2 years. And if you remember when Obama came into office, he had a Democratic-controlled House and Senate. When his last 2 years in office, he'll have a Republican-controlled House and Senate. And he's already stated that his magic pen that he uses for his illegal, unconstitutional executive orders is going to be used now to veto. And, of course, the first thing on the docket they're talking about is the Keystone Pipeline. And so it lands on his desk. And, of course, Josh Earnest said with it, well, he doesn't know about he's going to veto and that. He wants us to look at the wording of it. You know, he's a wordsmith now, you know, and so that's what he's going
to
do.
Got to.
But if he vetoes it, he can't stick it on anybody else but himself.
Right.
So.
Right.
Now, speaking of sticking on himself and speaking of the fact what you did last segment about even though this is a new Republican-controlled House and Senate, will they have the spine to do the right thing?
And that's one of the things that we mentioned is I think even before, you know, this was months ago, was that, you know, if that's the fact of what you've got going on, you need to you know, whether it's a Republican House or in Senate and Congress or what, you know, whatever it is,
right,
then it has to be different than what we've had.
Yes.
It has to be different than what
and
we've had
it
because
has to
we've
be.
Had
and it's the American people that have to make it different because these are our quote unquote representatives. We are not a democracy. We are a republic where we have democracy ideas. But in a democracy, we would all have to go down to Washington and vote and say and do. In a republic, we hire people to represent us for we can, and to put it quite aptly, as the way it was originally done, we could run our shops and our farms and do our job knowing that the people that we have hired are there to represent us. Just like if you go to an attorney and hire him to represent you, it's the same deal.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of having confidence, Speaker Boehner is under a challenge. He's under a challenge by a number of House Republicans that don't think he has a leadership idea to him. He's caved too much to Obama on many different things. For example, with this spending bill. Mm. We used to call them budgets. Now we call them spending bill. And very
well, when they're over $1 trillion, you have to call them a spending bill and not a budget.
Yeah, it's a good point. And so now you got a Republican from Texas who is going to challenge Boehner. You've got others that are challenging for Speaker of the House, for a new Speaker of the House. Mm. My opinion, there's not enough votes there to change it. Boehner will still be the speaker. But the mere fact that he's being challenged by others should send a little bit of a message to Mr. Boehner about getting on track. You know, John Boehner, I find personally.
Tan.
Yeah, too tan. He's got that.
He's got that constant vacation look going on, and I just can't stand it.
Well, alongside from that, he comes out talking tough. Oh, when he was minority leader, talking tough. Here's this. You know, he has that. Don't get it. You know, he's got that boss look to him. But when it came to actuality, he folded like a house of cards.
Yeah, there's not much to be said about, you know, that's what we were mentioning. If you have the spine, it shouldn't be what's red and what's blue. It should be what's right and what's wrong. And if that's the way things feel down there, then you know, we need even more change than what we got back in the midterms.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't work, then, hey, great news. You get to decide next year, next terms as well.
Right. But keep in mind, Boehner will be there. I mean, I don't think he's going to lose the speakership. Mm. But I can tell you this is that if this hopefully will wake him up. There's always a challenge when you get a new Congress in. But hopefully it wakes him up a bit. But, you know, again, Andrew, you mentioned it, too, when you said term limits on these people. You look at Obama. What's he got to lose? He's only got 2 years left.
Mm.
Boehner? What's he got to lose? And so we'll see how this all pans out. Now, of course, this will be a first test when it comes down to this Keystone Pipeline. Will they? Will he veto it? I guarantee he will, because Obama's going to play to his environmental wacko base.
It depends how it's worded.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's not right. It's not about how you know hurt someone. It's about how you say you're going to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not about the environmental impact it may have.
I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to hurt you bad.
It could actually be incredibly hard, like bad for the environment. But as long as it's worded right.
Oh yeah.
It'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
come on.
Yeah,
give me a little more than that. You're the president of the free world. So.
Well, and then I came across this article that was in the Washington Examiner about Republicans having ruled out raising the gas tax. Now, you take a look right now. Gas prices are dropping. The price of crude has gone way down. Now, that's good for you and I. But Wall Street's not too happy with it because, you know,
it's dropped 50% in.
Yeah. And this is something that
few weeks
that the Obama administration is trying to grab. Oh, look at the economy. We're doing fine. We're doing fine. Well, the thing is, the Wall Street, in my opinion, I'm no financial expert, but I'm sure there's plenty out there that may agree with me that this big boon that it had before. Well, during coming to Christmas and New Year's, it was up there. It's going to end the year at a high. It's false. It's a false high. Because now you would think with oil prices going down, it's good for you and I, getting gas, going to work and so forth. But when it comes down to the market, it's not so good. And so
it's almost like a controlled burn you need. You need it to drop at a current rate.
I can tell you this right now. Let the Tom Corbett rule be your guide. Tom Corbett raised the gas tax. Is he governor now? Mm. He won't be. He's lost it. If these Republicans, these political idiots, want to raise the gas tax, the Republicans, you might as well kiss 2016 goodbye.
Yeah.
Because, I've always said that they are masters at snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Right.
And, by the mere fact of talking about it, now this will probably be the only time we'll hear about it. But there are some congressional Republicans that have ruled out raising the gas tax. That's nuts.
See, it depends. It depends what I get out of it. But look at the way that they spend money, I don't even want to pay any taxes.
Yeah, but look at it this way, Andrew, is that gas prices are going down. Oh, so we can increase the gas tax again. What goes down, in the oil industry goes right back up again.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to take is somebody to sneeze at a refinery.
It's
is
an
for
ebb
an
and a flow.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying. It needs to. I was reading and excuse me. They were saying that, when the gas prices dropped as drastically as they did, it was a very quick action that happened. And that's not necessarily good. When you want prices to go down, you want them to go down at a slope that's reasonable, rather than just a big dip or a valley or a trough.
Sure. Well,
because it's not a sustainable.
Figuring in the Pennsylvania increased gas tax, I think the national average for gas right now is at, 240?
Yeah, I was going to say 239. But
however, what's going on around here? Now, I've been to other places just yesterday. I was in other parts of Pennsylvania and saw that it was around the national average in place. But around here, we're still talking 249, 250, and it's like,
yeah.
What's going on here? Didn't these guys here get the memo?
Right. I mean, it's very troublesome sometimes to see that.
It is. But it's like I said.
Kind of makes you scratch your head like,
yeah,
huh?
With Christmas coming
up. I thought it was
up,
cheap.
The gas prices were going down, and I was saying, take it as a Christmas gift.
Nice
enjoy
little present.
It while
right.
it lasts.
Yeah. Nice little gift.
Because as you can see, when the price goes down, these elected buffoons figure that they can raise taxes on it and bring
perfect.
It right back
we
up
we can
again.
Raise taxes.
Yeah, it goes down. So what's up the taxes?
Doesn't make any sense.
Now, is this a republic? Yeah. I don't know what this is anymore.
Well, hey, we've got to head to a commercial break. But when we come back, we'll be delivering you a little more news on what's going on in the day. We have our guest from Inside Firearms here. He'll be in at 8 o'clock. His name is Luke Kelly. So we'll be talking to him then. But right now, we're going to head to a commercial break. So stay right there.
We'll bring our own music.
Yeah, bring us back with our own music. There we go. Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYI.
I should have brought in a harmonica.
There you go.
Yeah,
you could have done our music for us. Yeah. Well, if the computer's still broken tomorrow, Bruce, bring that harmonica right
Dad,
in. Bring in
the old jaw harp. Going
yeah,
harp,
there
going
you go.
Harp,
We'll call up. We'll get Charlie Zahm in here. He can do some music
there
for
go.
Us. So
there you go.
I'm looking forward to St. Patrick's Day. Hopefully, we have him in here again.
Yeah,
there.
We'll dig out that CD of his and play it.
Yeah, we can do that as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we should find that.
Yeah.
But anyway. Back to the news.
Back to the news. Well, this is, like I said, when we got talking about this, is the Let the Games Begin. Now, this is 2015.
Uh-huh.
Next year. Oh, that's going
to
be fun.
That's the one they're already looking forward
2016.
To. 2016. Yep, a year, 9 months.
That's right. And the scorecard is starting to fill up with the potential candidates for the president of the United States. And, of course, over the weekend, Mike Huckabee, who had a radio program here that we were broadcasting.
We were broadcasting.
And
right,
he gave that up. Well, he's now leaving Fox News.
Well, he gave that up like 6 months ago to a year ago?
I think it was almost a year ago.
It was almost a year ago now.
And so now he's given up his show on Fox News because he's considering running again for president.
Now, is he saying he's considering running for president?
Yeah, he actually said that he would consider. And looking, you know, they don't say they're looking into the potentials.
Right, right. I'm going to quit my job to see if I can actually run for president.
Yeah.
Because thinking about running for president is a full-time job.
Well, yeah. But what gets me is we've talked about this before. And of course, you know, Andrew and I are both in agreement on this. No more dynasties.
Right, right. I'm not for a Jeb Bush. I'm not for a Hillary Clinton.
No, we've not that. And then
for no other reason besides a dynasty.
Then you have the rehashes that come out. Remember the last one, the rehash? John McCain. Now, there's a guy that needs to go. John McCain. John, go back there. You just retire out. Thank you for your service. Just retire out. He came back. Oh, he tried for president once before. He didn't make it through. So this time, you know, the last time they decided, well, we're going to put John McCain up there against Obama. And, you know, Obama, his first term, beat McCain and finally, you know, put an end to McCain. Mm-hmm. That was a weak sister. And it was amazing with McCain because I went to a rally. That was in Lancaster, a McCain rally. And I don't know if I've told this story on the air, is that John McCain, of course, he's the headliner, but Sarah Palin was there. So he introduced her first. I thought the roof was going to come down. I had never in an auditorium heard so much noise out of so many people in my life. It was deafening. And John McCain comes out. They introduce him, and what do you get? That was about it. And so then, of course, the last election cycle, you had Romney that came in. Now, Romney fiscally, I think Romney would have been good, but Romney did not fight for it, in my opinion. And there's a talk about Romney. Now Huckabee's coming back in the fold of the thing. And a person who is now on the Republican side, more and more people are starting to talk about him. And I,
who's that?
And I talked about him earlier last year. Scott Walker.
Right.
Now, Scott Walker is interesting because I think in
what's that song? I Fought the Law and the Law Won. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
He fought a lot of things in a blue state and continued to hold his governorship.
Yes, yes.
So,
yes,
you know, there's a with Walker. Yeah, I would. I'm not endorsing anybody.
Well,
but
I
would be interested in looking more into him.
People have said Scott Walker. People have said Rick Perry.
Jeb
Bush, of course, is out there. And I think he leads the
polls.
Ben
Carson. Now, don't
Ben
get me
Carson's not going to run
now,
for president.
Well, don't get me wrong. Ben Carson is a very smart man. He's a very good man. I don't think he has the ability.
What do I always say, Bruce? The people who are the best suited to be president would never run because they're too smart.
No, and I don't think he'd ever make it.
I don't think he would either. I think he's too smart.
Yeah.
I think he knows what he's doing,
and
I don't think
he's too mild.
Well, he'd have to dumb himself down for this political game that you play.
Yeah, you play politics.
Not to say that all politicians are stupid, but the game that they play.
Why not say that? Because they're proving that every day.
The game that they play is it hurts one group of people, and they are called Americans.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, yeah. It's not about us. It's not about us.
Certainly not.
But, you know.
That sounds entitled, Bruce.
Ben Carson be good in a government.
Absolutely.
In the government.
I wouldn't mind seeing him as a Surgeon General.
Huckabee, I think Huckabee might make a good VP.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know?
But, I could see that. We mentioned that before the show as well.
And
Romney's still at the top of the polls for a lot of people.
Oh, sure he is.
I think he was right behind Jeb Bush or right in front of Jeb Bush.
But
when
then
they took
again,
a poll.
Are we going to have a rehash of the past? I mean, where's the move forward in this country? Not to move, well, we're stagnantly and slowly moving backwards.
Why wouldn't?
That's what happens when you get progressives. You know, progressives is a word that means moving forward, but with progressives, we tend to move backwards. Look at Obama, what he's done to us. Now,
I think that if Romney, I would like to see Romney run again. I would like to see Romney run now. Listen to what I say for that, because I don't want to see the GOP Frankenstein that I saw last time he ran.
If
the governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney, ran for president, I think more people would have voted for him. But instead, we get this, you know, blob of ideal that stands there, and it's not the person that we want to vote for.
Oh, no, it isn't. No, it isn't.
That's why the political parties have a way of changing people to become, you know, their pawns. We'll give you the money. We'll give you the bid. Well, look, you got to do what we say.
What is it? It's a $1 million a month, is it? I could be wrong. To run for president.
To spend $1 million a month?
Yeah. What happened?
I think it's more than that.
Yeah, but what happened?
It goes up as you get closer.
What happened to the adage of the common man could seek the position? Oh, right. Common man with means. But what happened to that?
No, I completely agree. It's something that has completely fallen beside. And for the, you know, the result of it, we are beside ourselves. It is something that has, you know, you look at like common law and that kind of thing, even that laws that are supposed to be, you know, open to, or, you know, have the common people, you know, using regular tongues. And now you get laws that are 500 pages thick.
Oh yeah.
You know, 500,000 words, all kinds of
look at the Unaffordable Care Act. Well, how many thousands of pages in there?
Right, right.
You know, we got to pass the bill to find out what's in it. What a bunch of hooey.
Well,
that's
because you can't read it all.
No. Who could?
You need a whole session of Congress just to read it.
Yeah. And so, but here we have the field. It's going to be interesting. I always say, though, a governor has more of my eye to look at him than a senator or a congressman.
We were talking about a leadership position, Bruce. Well, when you think about it, this for some of you out there may come as a shock, because I think a lot of people downplay her role in the 2008 elections. But Sarah Palin was the most qualified person to be president in 2008. You got three junior senators and one governor. You know, who do you think is more qualified?
There was a Benson Dukakis Benson ticket on the Democratic side number of years ago, and everybody said that ticket should have been reversed, Benson and Dukakis. When you came to McCain and Palin, that was a pure example. Palin was a go-getter, a stand-up, go and do. McCain, weak sister. And the headliner was the wrong one on the ticket.
Well, I think they would have made an interesting pair. I would have liked to see how they did as president and vice president, but you know, I'm sick and tired of seeing somebody who's sat in the Senate for 2 years hungry and want to be president. It shouldn't happen.
Yeah, it does a filibuster and think they can run president. But the fact is that a governor has governed. Running a state is like running a country.
Right.
They have governed. They have managed. A senator, a freshman senator, we know what that gets you. Or even a guy who's been in Congress for a year. What have they governed? What have they managed?
Right.
This is the question.
Absolutely.
You know, you're not going to hire a fry cook to be your CEO of a multi-trillion dollar company.
Certainly. That noise means we do have to head to a commercial break. So when we get back, we'll be talking with Luke Kelly of Inside Firearms. So we'll have him in here and we'll be talking. I think you know what we're going to be talking about. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Right.